Welcome to the deep dive. This is where we take the sources you send us, dive in, and sort of pull out the key ideas together.
Exactly. It's about getting informed, but hopefully in a, well, enjoyable way.
So today we're looking into the life and art of Laszlo Tarr. He was a Hungarian-American artist.
And our guides are basically two things. His son Julius Tarr's website for the Laszlo Tarr Art Gallery.
Okay.
And also an excerpt from Julius's writing called Sunday Afternoons. It's quite poignant.
Sounds good. So we'll be looking at his paintings, drawings, woodcuts, trying to get a feel for the artist himself.
Yeah, and his heritage, his background, and really seeing it all through his son's eyes.
Yeah.
That's the unique angle here.
Right. It's not just facts and dates. It's personal.
Very personal. Laszlo Tarr lived a long life, 97 years, and was clearly very dedicated to his art. Multiple mediums.
And his son Julius, the youngest son, he adds commentary on the website.
He does, yeah. Gives context. And interestingly, the site also mentions some podcasts about Laszlo Tarr.
Oh, yeah.
Made with Google Gemini AI, apparently. Hosted by Carol and John.
Huh.
They cover things like his escape to freedom, his life and art generally, and a trip to Venice.
Okay, that title, Escape to Freedom, that sounds pretty significant.
It really is. And it connects directly to the Sunday Afternoons piece by Julius. That writing gives us the human story behind it all.
Right.
We learn the family, mom, dad, his brother Les, sister Julia. They escaped communist Hungary back in 1956.
Wow. Julius wasn't born then.
No, he was born later in the U.S. But that escape, he calls it a treacherous journey. It became part of their, you know, family mythology.
I get that. Those stories that define a family.
Exactly. And he sets a scene writing in 1992, so 36 years after the escape.
Okay.
And he reflects on how the American dream had materialized, his words, in their modest house in Queens.
Through sheer hard work, he says.
Absolutely. His parents' dedication, building a new life. It's powerful stuff.
And he brings in these sensory details, doesn't he? To show how their Hungarian roots were still present.
Oh, definitely. Like the smell of chicken paprikas.
Right. Sweet paprika, onions, sour cream. He describes it as this immediate link back home.
A feeling of homecoming, yeah. It shows how deep those cultural ties can run, even through something like, well, food aroma.
It really does. And the image of his mother's apron.
The faded blue one with tiny flowers.
Yeah. He says it was a constant. It paints such a picture, doesn't it, of her, of that daily life.
It does.
Yeah.
And her accent, too, he mentions, it remained thick.
Even after years in America.
Mm-hmm. Little reminders of their journey woven into their new life.
It makes you think about how people carry their pasts with them.
For sure.
Well,
and it leads nicely into how Julius describes his father's studio.
Yeah, that wasn't some grand space, was it?
Not at all. It was a former bedroom they'd transformed, had a recliner, a nightstand.
With paints and philosophy books?
Yeah. And a repurposed coffee table. It feels very real, very lived in, not pretentious at all.
Resourceful. A personal workspace.
Exactly. And yeah. We get insights into his actual process there.
Like listening to classical music.
Low classical music, yeah.
Yeah.
Vivaldi on WQXR, specifically.
Okay.
But the really fascinating part, for me anyway, is that he would apparently talk to his subjects.
Talk to them? Like if he was painting flowers?
He'd talk to the bouquet. Julius heard him. Described the words as appreciative, respectful, loving.
Wow. That's quite something. It suggests a real connection, doesn't it? More than just looking.
It really does. Like a dialogue. Art as a conversation with the world.
And his method was pretty methodical, too.
Seems like it. Sketching first, getting the composition right,
mm-hmm.
then applying the watercolor deliberately onto paperclip, to masonite, sometimes tilted up with books.
Practical. Even the water container, a detergent bottle bottom.
Yeah. It speaks to that unpretentious focus on the work itself.
And Julius would watch him, right? Sneaking upstairs.
Yeah, trying to avoid the creaky fourth step. It's such a relatable detail.
Totally. And he felt like he was watching magic.
Magic, yeah. Seeing the connection between his father's eyes, mind, words, the brush, like witnessing creation happen.
That phrase, magic in motion, really captures it.
It does. And seeing his father's gentle smile, like he was chatting with someone he loved.
While painting.
Yeah. It made Julius wonder if his friends felt that same sort of awe about their parents.
That's interesting. Thinking about the unspoken respect for family histories in their neighborhood.
Right. Everyone had their own stories, their own journeys. He suggests a kind of shared understanding there.
And the studio itself becomes a symbol.
Of transformation, yeah. Just like the family's journey. A bedroom becoming an artist's sanctuary.
Then there's the moment Laszlo would notice Julius watching.
And he'd just switch, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
From deep concentration to just being dad, happy, present.
Julius calls it his dual nature, says he was a Gemini.
Right. Able to be totally absorbed in the art, but also completely there as a father and husband. Always intense, always present in whichever role.
That quality must have been important.
You'd think so. Especially navigating the challenges of a new country. That intensity, combined with his wife's focus on, well, reality.
It sounds like those Sunday visits were really important to Julius.
Oh, absolutely. A ritual.
Yeah.
He describes it as bridging his American present and his parents' European past.
His digital world versus their tactile one.
Exactly. And he misses it all, the food, watching his dad paint, the chats, even just going out to find things for his dad to paint.
It's that intergenerational connection.
Definitely. And his big realization later on, after they were gone,
was that his father's greatest art wasn't just the paintings.
Right. It was in showing him the beauty in ordinary things, like that bouquet of flowers.
Finding the extraordinary in the everyday, that's a powerful legacy.
It really is. And it connects to this idea that all families have their own stories, their own sort of miracles, quiet ones, maybe.
He uses that lovely metaphor near the end.
The memories and stories being the brushstrokes on the canvas of our lives.
Yeah. Applied with care, like his father's painting or his mother's way of living.
It's beautiful. And his final thought, that he's old enough now to see the whole picture his father was painting on those Sundays.
It brings it all together, doesn't it? A real sense of understanding.
It does. And bringing it back to you, listening, this whole story, seen through Julius's eyes, it really hits on these big themes, you know?
Family, heritage.
The artistic process, finding beauty around us. Things we can all relate to, I think.
Absolutely. It kind of prompts you to think about your own family stories, maybe. Those everyday moments.
Yeah, the ones that might actually hold something extraordinary if you look closer.
So, wrapping up this deep dive, it's clear, again, how much richness can be found in the sources you send us.
Definitely. And if this sparked your interest, you should check out the Laszlo Tarr Art Gallery website. See the art for yourself.
And maybe look for those podcasts, too, the ones by Carol and John, for another angle.
Mm-hmm. And maybe just, you know, take a moment to think.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Julius looking back on those Sunday afternoons.
How might your own family history, your own ordinary moments,
how might they look if you saw them as these sort of masterpieces of memory? What picture would emerge then?